room, make them feel at home. And second time guest and third time guest, and we're blessed to have you. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we grow, as we go, and as we gather, and we're gathering today, so we want faith to be evident, and thank God for it today. I wanted to make sure that you knew about Wednesday night. The elders are taking the lead on something that's pretty amazing. We haven't done it in several seasons, and it's called our prayer walk. And it's biblical because the Bible says in Joshua that every place that your foot would tread, that I've given it to you, Joshua. And so we're a Joshua-type church, and we want to leave the four walls as we do it, be the church. And I'm inviting you back. We don't do anything crazy like wave signs or, you know, or speak in tongues real loud and all that. All that's good. But when we go onto the streets, we pray. We take over things. And so we'll go within our community, right outside the doors, our homes. Would you realize that? Yes, many roofs around. And so our homes are going to be blessed as our elders take that point of leadership and they'll go into neighborhoods and pray for those. How many of you realize we also have a great high school next to us? And there's an elementary school just almost a stone's throw away that we'll just, that's our elementary school. That's our high school. It's God's high school. So we want to pray. We'll pray at the sidewalk. We'll ask God's blessing upon it. The school year is ending, but we can still ask God's blessing as a new beginning in our relationships with the school. And then finally, our elders are going to go to the place of businesses. And Hector's Tire Shop is right across the street, right? Amen. It's been a blessing to us, right? How many have had flats, had to go over there? I have. It's not free, but it's good. Give me a good amen. Amen. So we thank God for the businesses that are all around us. Our elders will take the lead that God would bless businesses, that we'd have godly businesses within the area, right, everybody? And they would prosper and be blessed. So thank God that you're part of that, and you'll be part of the prayer walk at 7 p.m. Gather here, and the elders will take the lead, all right? Welcome the Facebook Live audience today. Come on, make sure that they feel at home. They're spending time with us, and thank God for it today. We want to make sure that you know about our series is called Fearless, and Fearless is about the challenges that grow us. Some of us, though, can get stifled in our learning because in our walk, because fear can bind you and it can stop the work of God. And so fear because of the future, fear because of a job, fear because of a relationship. And God wants you to find courage right now in the middle of His Word and looking at it with me, that you'd be fearless. And we live in a world that lives with fears. There's so many phobias, right, everybody? Amen. Jesus spoke about because He knew the times would be upon us that He said that in the last days, men's hearts would fail because of faith. No, because of fear. And you're either going to starve your fear and feed your faith, or you're going to starve your faith and feed your fear. And we want to do the opposite of that, like I spoke of, and I want you to do the same. There's so many unknowns that you can think about, and it will drive you to the point of saying, what am I going to do? Woe is me. But God is wanting your faith to get fed, so you're fearless today. I found a wonderful scripture in the Message Bible on the big screen. Let's go ahead and say it together. Declare it so they're hearing you. Make the roof rise, right, everybody? On three. One, two, three. We stand fearless at the courageous. Before the rush and the roar of oceans. Who protects you today? The God of angel armies, right, everybody? Because God is our refuge and God is our strength. It's a place of trust. You can depend on God, beloved, this morning, right, everybody? Yeah? And I won't fear any blow that might occur against me today. And because of the God of angel armies being by my side and walking with me today. I want to speak today of the God that knows my pain. And there are many today that you walk in pain or you walk privately in pain and there's something that happened. It could have been because of an offense. Could have been because usually when it comes to pain, there's inner pain that happens and there's something of great just hurt and you feel it. A loss, a tragedy, and there's an offense that rises. And someone that would walk up to you and say, I know how you feel because you lost that loved one this season, or I know how you feel because you've been through this life crisis. Don't you ever want to just scream at them on the inside, maybe out loud, and say, you don't have any idea what I'm going through? Has anybody ever been like me? They may mean well, but in reality, nobody else walks in your shoes. Nobody else has experienced what the doctor did at that moment and by giving you that report, or when they walked out on you, how that hurt, or what happened when that crisis arose. And so for somebody to come up to you and nonchalant say, I know what you're going through, they may mean well, but it's not good. And our church is a caring church, and sometimes we put our foot in our mouth accidentally. There's an example several years ago. There was a daughter that lost her mom suddenly, and the church was there to help. And many people came and they helped this daughter, and they did great. Our church arrived, but what was behind the scenes was, which we try to protect, was the mom committed suicide. That's how she lost her life. And so when someone came up to her and said, I know how you feel, because it was kind of hidden, it was just her fault, but it was everybody's fault. But less is more when a hug is evident. Do you understand that? Sometimes we don't need to talk. We can just hug and say, I'm praying for you. And that's what I found even as a pastor, just as I've gone through the years, is you don't need to say a whole lot of things that get you into trouble. Your big mouth, your big foot in your mouth gets us into a whole bunch of trouble. And so when that young person, that daughter, heard that person say that, she came up to me and said, what, that you know how I feel because your mom blew her brains out like my mom blew her brains out? You see the evidence of that, how it was hurtful today. And so I don't want to ever be guilty of telling somebody, I know how you feel, because I really don't know how you feel in that sense. Do you understand that today? Amen. There is one, though, that arrived on the scene 2,000 years ago, and he knows exactly how you feel. And we have a hope in him. God the Father, Jesus the Son, God in flesh walked among us, and he felt everything that you felt, and he went through everything that you possibly... So when he comes up to you and says, I know how you feel, you can take that to the bank, right, everybody? Amen. You can say, oh, I know my Savior. And so I want to lift up that person today. His name's Jesus, right, everybody? Amen. We did it in worship. We lifted our hands. We praised him. But I can also lift him up in the Word as your answer today, right? Amen. And God is that one that comes along and says, you know what? If you lift me up during this time, I'm going to help you today. There's these 9 chapters that go along in Chronicles. And Chronicles means I chronicled everything that was going to happen. And they name name after name after name after name. And it's not a good bedtime story, because your kid will go crazy if you read him that bedtime story. But it's a story of just genealogy and name after name of the 12 tribes of Israel, and everybody's recorded in there. There's a couple of pauses in there. There's this one guy, because of what he did, they said that he caused deception to come upon the people. He caused great sorrow. Another one caused great sorrow to come upon the people. Another one was a wicked man, and it says that he was wicked. But it keeps on going, and you notice these names. And all of a sudden, in chapter 4, something comes up where everything stops, and this guy named Jabez is announced. And Jabez does something against all odds. He asks God's blessing, and he asks God's help, because he was in pain, and he'd gone through pain. There were things in his life that weren't good. And let me just show it to you. It's on the big screen, I think, in your handout. Do you have your message notes there? You're going to need them. Let's look at them together. 500 names plus. And all of a sudden, one name stands out that did good, that did the right thing in spite of his pain. And God saw and answered his prayer. Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. And his mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Somebody say pain. Pain. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me and keep me from harm, so I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Isn't that amazing today? There was something unique about this brother named Jabez. And I thought the first thought was this, that he was strong in his character. The Bible says that he was much more honorable than his brothers. So his brothers must have been dishonorable. How many ever grown up in a kind of a whack family? A dysfunctional family. The Bible's full of people. That Joseph was another one of the Old Testament. But somebody always arises, because God's always about a remnant or one person that can say, yeah, this family's blessed, not because of what I bring to the table, no, because I'm asking God's help. So someone in the family needs to be the character enough to have character in their lives to say, we're going to be strong. Right, everybody? Amen. The second thought that I noticed, he was a pain to his mom. Wow. Yeah. How many ever been a pain to mama? How many ever have a son like that? One guy's being honest. Amen. He's the only one going to heaven. Me and you, bro. The only ones, right? Why would mama name her son Pain? Because that's what it means, Jabez. So when she would call him, Jabez, dinner's ready. Pain in the neck. Your dinner's ready. Well, I would want to come to dinner for that, right, everybody? We've been in different places, and just like you have, and they get that last name, but the mother names them some weird name. Like there was this lady that the last name was Man, but her first name was Anita. And so every time that they would call her, Anita Man, Anita Man, Anita Man, and that didn't sound good at roll call, right? A guy, his last name was Duck, and his parents had the thought when he was born to name him Donald. I don't know why, but, and that wasn't nice, right? A girl named C, they named her Tina, Tennessee. So how many of they had fun on playgrounds that way? And finally, there was this guy, and this is true. The last name was Labor, and then his first name was Manuel. Manuel Labor. That wasn't good either, right? Think through before you name your child. Look at those beautiful baby names, amen. They're on Google. You can Google those. They'll be great names, amen. She named her kid Jabez, her baby boy. They say that, of course, he caused pain. Maybe he was breached. And to hear his name meant trouble. So over and over, when they heard his name, they meant, here comes the pain, here comes the pain. And so God only knows really what the pain was, but it continued and it marked his life. So the future was bleak. The future didn't look good. When they named somebody in the Old Testament, especially, it meant something of the future, a forecast. Solomon was named by David, which was a warring king, a king that was good, great in war. Well, he finally wanted peace. And so when he named Solomon, his baby boy, Solomon, he named him on purpose. And Solomon means peace. And in Solomon's reign, there was peace, and he lived up to his name. Jabez did not want to live up to the difficult future and how bleak it was. He didn't want to be the loser his whole life. His family was probably very poor. I don't see a father in the mix. And usually David, the son of Solomon, it's all through the Old Testament. And Jabez, they don't say he was the son of anybody. So where was his daddy? And that caused family crisis to happen. Identity, his dad was out of the picture. And finally, I like this about the verse. Jabez did not choose to stay where society and humanity and the crowd was telling him where he was supposed to stay. You're going to be a pain all your life because that's your name. You were born with, your daddy's not around, and so this is going to happen to you. When you look at the pieces, put all the cards together about this guy's life, it doesn't look good, does it? Yeah. Help me out with that one, right? It may be the same about your life today. I'm insignificant. Pain is in my life right now. I don't have a future. I'm crying out for God right now. Would you do what Jabez does? He asks God to bless him. Isn't that kind of cocky? Isn't that kind of, who does he think he is? If God can't bless you, how can you be a blessing to other people? If you're not blessed, if you're in line, how can God bless? How can we as a church help people if we're not blessed as a church? Amen. You as individuals in this room, blessed to bring together, and we come together as a synergy and say, now we're going to be a blessed group of people. He asked God to enlarge his territory. That means, give me more, Lord, give me more. How could he ask that? Isn't he satisfied? No, he wanted to have more so he would be secure, so he could have borders for his family, so they would be protected. And so pain wouldn't come anymore to him. He said, don't bring me any more harm. Keep me from the harm today so I can have God's hand on my life today. Right, everybody? Amen. Yeah. And so thank God for it today. I've seen so much worry and so much pain now that we're a social media age. And you look on pages like Facebook or Twitter maybe, and you see pain expressed. This happened to me, and this loneliness happened to me, and this happened to me. And people are all about their page, and I'm not knocking anybody. If you've done that, don't feel any conviction right now. But I look at it and go, where's God in all that? What if they post that much towards our Heavenly Father, and their post would be to God instead of that post about their lack, about their need, and not judging anybody because God understands pain. But if you point it upward, because Jabez didn't post anything on Facebook, he pointed it up, right? You're saying, well, they didn't have any. No, they had other realms of, they could have said, woe is me all day long, right, everybody? But they said, whoa, God, help me. I need your help. And God heard his prayer. Be careful, amen. You're a witness today, right, everybody? Amen. Amen. Let my destiny be determined not by my post, but by what God's called me. He's called me by his name, right, everybody? Amen. And so the destiny of God today. I don't want to live in pain. I don't want to be a pain in the neck to somebody. Who does in this room? So we can kind of stay away from you. One guy, right? I want you to choose the great physician. His name's Dr. Jesus. I want you to walk into his office, and just like we do when we're full of pain or we need physical therapy or we need some medicine, thank God for Tylenol. Give me a good amen. Amen. We take the prescription of God, and his God, God is God, and God is good, and the great physician gives good medicine. You'll never take a hit like you take from Jesus. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, don't take drugs. Take the word, right? It's better for you, right? Amen. So God's words are life-giving. They give us the right thing to do, right? And so I want to give you some principles of God's word, how it's found. So when the offense comes, when the hurt comes, when the pain comes today, physical, spiritual, most of it on the emotion side today, I want you to do this. The first thought is this: stay ahead of the moment. What do you mean by that, stay ahead of the moment? Stay ahead of the moment in the sense of just looking towards the future. If you keep rehearsing what happened to you in the background, in the back passages of life, you're going to get really discouraged real quick. I remember when that happened to me, and I should have said this. I remember when that happened to me, and we were good until that moment. And I remember when that happened to my family. You keep remembering days gone past, and God wants you to stay. Aren't you glad you're here today? Yes. Stay ahead of the moment. Look forward to the things. Recently, I had to do some physical therapy because they had to strengthen part of an ear condition that I was facing that I've told you much about because woe is novel, right, everybody? Whoa, I keep telling you. And because they strengthened that, I had to break old patterns that had been with me probably for decades. And that pattern had gotten so adjusted to it, I had to retrain muscles to do something new that they hadn't done. If it would have been a knee that had been blown out, I would have had to do the physical therapy because scar tissue would have formed on that knee trying to heal itself, and they would have taken me through. Some of y'all are nodding like y'all know me, right? They would have had to do me rigorously, and it would have hurt real bad, but I would have had to go forward in something and not go backward. Do you understand that today? So I need to get better. So as much as this is going to hurt, I'm going to go forward. As much as I'm going to leave that behind and finally let it go, I got to stay ahead of the moment. Do you understand that today? The same thing happens. Spirit, you strain, you stretch, you go forward in the thing that God has for you because you don't want to keep looking back. You want to break. Somebody say the old pattern. Yeah, and do something new today. In Philippians 3:12, it says, not that I've already attained this, and thank God for a mature man of God like Paul, or I've already arrived at my goal. Who's better than Paul in this room? I don't think you would want to raise your hand right now. He wrote half of the New Testament. He endured a lot of stuff, right? He's kind of our go-to guy. This is the way Christianity should look, right, everybody? But look at this. I press on. I'm not going to turn back. I'm going to put my hand to the plow like Jesus said and go forward, because you got to go forward in life, right, everybody? Amen. To take a hold of what Jesus, which Christ Jesus took a hold. Nathaniel Varial a moment ago grabbed his violin, which y'all love to hear him play, right? And he grabbed a hold of it because that's his instrument, and he played it. And he played. He said, this instrument's mine. I'm going to see God grabbed a hold of Paul that same way. I'm grabbing a hold of you, Paul. You're going to be my instrument to the Gentiles to bring them the word of salvation. Amen. God, take a hold of us. Use me, Lord, as your instrument should be the cry. So you're looking forward, not backwards, right, everybody? Amen. We live in that mistake. It's awkward and it's backward. We can't be doing that today. Amen. Make us your instrument, Lord. Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4:8, are you there with me? You haven't had any fun all day living faith. Let's go ahead and say the verse together out loud, right, everybody? This is where we say amen back and you shout back at me. You can talk back in church. Is that okay with everybody? Amen. Keep your mind on things that build you up and edify you spiritually. Here we go. On three. One, two, three. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is noble, pure, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, yeah, think. It's up here, man. Yeah, the smarts, right, everybody? Well, that pretty well eliminates television, doesn't it? During prime time? Y'all get that, right? Because if you're watching stuff, and I'm not saying throw away the TV like some, you know, churches do. They have a big TV burning party. Bring your flat screen, right? A lot of stuff on the radio is not noble or pure, right, young people? All the young people don't say anything right now. A lot of the stuff on the internet isn't pure, right? Movies, media, it's all around us now. And if we get that into our spirit, we're going to think on that thing. We're going to have some junk go through our mind, and it's going to mess us up in our spiritual way. Being a Christian, a lot of it has to do in your mind. Do you understand that today? It's your heart thing, yeah, but it's what goes into your mind. And if we're meditating on that, what's not right? They say the last thing that you go to sleep with, and I can prove this, is what you really dream about or think about and what you position. And so the other day there was this movie that we saw, and it was an awesome movie, but it was filled with a lot of action. Cops were chasing this guy. He was running away. He was right and trying to save his family, but it was just an intense movie. You know, like, wow, what a rush to watch this movie. I'm not going to go to hell for watching the movie. Is that okay with everybody? But I watched it, and then, you know what happened when I went to sleep? I dreamed that the cops were chasing me. And so when I woke up, true story, I woke up like, and I woke up, why am I dreaming this way? Well, I just watched that from 7 o'clock till about 9 o'clock, you know, DVD, and I was watching this great movie, but it affected me, yeah. I usually doze off with this thing called The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, right? And I go to sleep, and man, Jimmy's funny. Jimmy has all these games that he's doing, right? And you ever watch Fallon? And I'm not going to go to hell for watching Jimmy Fallon, but if that's the last thing that I do when I fall asleep, I'm going to be thinking about the stupid Tonight Show, amen, and Jimmy Fallon. I got into this habit, but I've gone away from it, and y'all need to pray for me. There's always some sister say, I'm going to pray for you. Okay. Pray for you too, man. And I used to have this good habit. I read the Word of God in the morning, and it sets my course. But by the time noontime comes around, I start thinking about, man, what did I read this morning? Because all this life event starts happening to me. And I go away from it, and I notice, man, I need to come back to it even at noontime. Who has time for that? We need to make time for what's true, what's noble. And then by the time 10 o'clock comes around, you know, I used to do this holy habit. I would try to end with God's Word. It maybe wasn't much. It was one verse I tried to get in me. Then that was the last thing on my phone. I shut it down. I would read the Bible on my phone and just shut it down and go to sleep. And I would sleep better. But I got away from that. I don't know what happened to me. Maybe I got busy. Would y'all pray for me? Because I know you're not like me. I want to meditate on things that are eternal, that are godly, that are pure. Amen. 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 God's going to take away my fun. No, He's going to give you life. Amen. Amen. Those are excellent things. The second thought is this. Let God deal with them. When something of pain comes because of another individual or something that happens, we want to build walls. I'm going to protect myself from that person. I'm going to guard my heart from them, and I'm never going to let that happen to me again. Next people that come in line and want to relate. And you know, you build the wall, and God can't even come in because you've isolated yourself. And I'll get them back because they won't be able to penetrate the wall and get past them. And I'll be angry at them, throwing rocks from the wall at them. And you need to let God deal with everyone that's caused you pain in your life today. and you want to deal with them. I've noticed that that there are situations sometimes that happen that you get offended, and then you tell your circle of influence that they offended you, how they hurt you, and then everybody in your circle of influences hates that person. You were the one that was offended, and instead of helping you with your circle of influence, they get on the bandwagon with you, and they go, tu sentido, yo sentido. Can I interpret that? You're hurt, and I'm hurt, and the whole, everybody's hurt now. And if they were really friends, and mature friends that are godly, I'm sure they love you, and they want to help you sing the sad song. But if they were mature friends, you know what they would do? They would say, you need to shut that down right now. And you need to ask for forgiveness. And you need to also pray that for that person. We need to pray for them because we need to forgive them. Because that poison that you're drinking right now, it's going to kill you. It's not going to kill them. Amen. And that's what sort of friend you need to be to somebody. Not that you jump on the bandwagon with them. Amen. I told Irma in this first service, I said, warm up the car because some people are mad at me the way they're looking at me. And so we need to take off. Amen. God knows your pain, and it's very, very real. I'm not discounting that, neither is God today. But God also knows how close He is, so you need to know how God can deal with people that have hurt you. In Isaiah 49:13, shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, right, everybody? Amen. Something about singing a song even in the middle of your pain right now. You mount, and for the Lord comforts His people. Who's that? That's you and me, right, everybody? And He will have compassion on His afflicted ones. No, I got to get them back. I got to get them back. They hurt Kawhi in the playoffs. We got to go after the... LeBron, get them back. Amen. Now, you don't have to get them back. Amen. There was a pastor that told a story about a couple that came in. And they came in real repentant. They were real sorrowful. They said, Pastor, we thought that this man hurt us, and we thought that this man offended us, so we spread rumors all about him in the community. We told really lie after lie now that we know the truth, but it wasn't. We thought it was true, but it wasn't, because we found out later that it wasn't. So we hurt this man's reputation. What can we do? What can we do to help right now, Pastor? We really feel guilty. And the pastor had a word of wisdom. He said, you know what? Take a pillowcase full of feathers, and I want you to go and lay a feather on the doorstep of everyone's house that you know that they got affected, that they heard the rumor, they heard the lie, and you know it got spread. Because you know one person told another person, so you're going to have to do a bunch. You're going to have to go to house after house. Just think of that. Go do it and do it. And so they went, took a sack full of feathers, and they laid a feather on each doorstep of everyone that they knew that the rumor had spread, about the lie had spread, about how they thought this man, how he offended them, which wasn't true. They came back with an empty pillowcase to the pastor's office. We've done it, but we still feel kind of bad. He says, you know what? You're going to feel better. Go back and collect all the feathers that you laid at the doorstep of all those people that got affected. And they went back to house after house, and they couldn't find the feathers. They came back to the pastor's office and said, we can't find the feathers. What can we do? He says, that's exactly what your words, they've been carried away by the wind. Your words went everywhere now. You can't get them back. That's why we shouldn't even say anything. Do you understand that today? We should pray for people today. And the Bible says about payback. David cried out in Psalms 35, contend, O Lord. And David's so honest. I love the Psalms, how they're so rich with just honest prayer. Some of the most honest prayers that have been written were written by David. Contend, O Lord, for those that contend with me. Fight against those. Notice who he says. Not my Theo, not my Thea, not Bruno, not the guy that's going to break their... Fight against those, Lord, that fight against me, right? Amen. Let God do it His way. Don't do it your way. Let Him do it in His time. He has your back, right, everybody? Amen. The third principle is this. Trust God instead of yourself. Proverbs 3:5, the famous verse that we love, that we have on our refrigerator magnets, that we have on plaques. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him. And He will make your what? There's a positive right there about corresponding with God. And you can show me the next slide. that you don't rely really on self-confidence, because this is all about anti-self. It's saying, rely on me, lean on me, trust on me, submit to me, and I'm going to make your pathway straight. Amen. You've arrived, yes, and you're okay in a bag of chips, but God is a lot better than you. Right, everybody? Amen. So turn it over to God. Amen. David knew about military superiority and how we needed to rank in the top nations. And Israel was a world power when he was the king. And he said this in Psalms 20 because he knew it. Some trust in chariots. Yeah, Moses, when he looked back and saw those chariots coming, he knew the ancient stories. He saw Pharaoh's horses coming and some in horses. But he also knew David is a warring king. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Right, everybody? I love that verse. David knew to trust in the person and character of God. And so must you as a Christian today, as God's child today. Trust in God. You trust in His purpose today. Amen. Should I just use God's name as a magical formula? In the name of Jesus. No. Do magic tricks all day long. The name of Jesus isn't a magical formula. It's not some incantation that you can do. And Jesus, 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 Jesus. No. You know what it is? It's the authority that you have as a child of God. You use the name of Jesus. I break hold every stronghold in the name of Jesus that is preventing me from receiving my healing right now. You use the name of Jesus because you have a relationship with Him, right? It brings you near. You have authority because you're using that name. God is by my side. I use the name of Jesus today as my authority, as I walk in the family of God today. Right, everybody? Amen. Trust in God. Follow His leaning. Don't lean to your own understanding today. I'm going to show you a video clip, and I love the movie Saving Private Ryan. There's this one part at the very end, and you know the storyline. James Ryan is the only one left in wartime, World War II, that is alive. Three sons have died. He's the fourth son. And they have to go, Captain Miller, played by Tom Hanks, has to go back behind enemy lines and find Private Ryan. And he searches and finally comes upon him, but they're going to get ambushed, or they're going to get, there's a setup that they have to do and stop the Germans from taking over again. And so they do everything they can to fight, but it cost Captain Miller and most of the life of his platoon their lives. And he's at the very end on this bridge. I'm not going to show you that scene because it's too long. But he's dying. And James Ryan, now young Matt Dillon, comes. Y'all know Hollywood. You know the Bible. Damon comes at him and he goes, he's looking at him. And Hanks is whispering, Miller, Captain Miller's whispering, earn this. Earn this. Earn this. Because all the men that it took to get him back to stateside, safe, back in his home, it cost their lives. And that's what Memorial Day is all about. Really, the freedom that we have to enjoy. All the men that it took and the women that it took to secure our freedom. And you'll see the transition, which is so good, of a young captain, young Private Ryan on the film, how it transitions right before our very eyes and it makes him an old man as he walks through the Normandy graveyard of all the men that have lost their lives. And he's at Captain Miller's grave site. And look at the video with me right now.
To be honest with you, I wasn't sure how I'd feel coming back here. Every day, I think about what you said to me that day on the bridge. I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me.
James. Captain John H. Miller.
To Miller's grave and says, every day I think about what you said to me on that bridge. I've tried to live the best life I could, and I hope that was enough. I hope at least in your eyes I've earned what you've done for me. He asked his wife right there of many years, just tell me I'm a good man. Tell me I'm a good man. And she says, you're a good man, because he tried to earn it today. I'd like to just conclude with the thoughts of this, and lights can stay a little bit lower too. It's just your words can make you stronger as we look at the last point today. Somebody say, your wounds can make you stronger. Yeah. You may be wounded from divorce. I don't know what that pain feels like. For me to say I know how you feel, I'd be a liar. I don't know what divorce feels like. I hope I never, by the grace of God, never feel that. But who better than you right now that have been divorced to help other people that are divorced or going through a divorce? Right? I've never been a drug addict or an alcoholic. But if you've been set free from alcoholism or you're going through a struggle like that, who better as God's child than to help somebody going through alcoholism or through drug addiction? Do you understand that? Your wounds can make you stronger when you help people, right, everybody? Amen. You may have had a habit that set you off, or you may have had an anger, but you got God's process in your life and it's helping you. Who better? Who better than to start the divorce recovery class or the divorce care class than you at Living Faith? You've been through grief. Who better than grief care? You're the leader. No one else is coming. You're it. You got to help people. The drug addict here that's an ex-drug addict for now, Christ has come into your life. And who better than to have Celebrate Recovery? You leading the group, because our community needs it. Right, everybody? Amen. And call the foreigners and call the wanderers and call the people that are far away from the cross. And you say, no, you can come to Living Faith. Because there are people that have gone through hell, and they've come back from hell, and they can help you and restore you today. Amen. That's why God's placed you here, to do something, to help people. Right, everybody? Amen. Three times Paul asked for help. And it was a worship experience after worship experience. It wasn't like, please remove this, please remove this. Three times Paul said this three times in heights of just ecstasy with God, in heights of just worship with God. When God shows up, you know that moment, right, at Living Faith sometimes, or in your living room, or wherever your altar is at home. I've had those moments. There's been moments here in the short history that we've been in this building, and God's moving, and the songs of faith are rising, man. I know God's, and there's no, but I grab a hold of Irma's hand, and I cry out, God bless my children, because I know he hears me. So is that sort of moment that Paul was feeling when God was touching him? And how many times have I asked for healing, and God would heal her and God would heal me in those moments? Please, God, remove this. Please, God, heal me. You've done that too, right, I hope? Because God is here. And God was here with Paul in these moments three times, three separate occasions. And he says, please remove the thorn from my side, my flesh. Please remove. Something was ailing him. Something was bothering. Somebody was after him. Something was pursuing him. Please remove that from my life. Please. And he did it three times. And you know what happened? It stayed with him the rest of his life. And this is what Paul came to. Man, that's bad news. I thought you were going to tell me something good. Paul knew what it was to live in pain. Jesus knew, of course, how he lived in pain. But this is when we're weak, how God works through us and God helps us. Are you there with me? 2 Corinthians on the big screen, right, everybody? And this is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my in insults, when people offend me, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, physically, ailments. For when I am weak, then I am what? Yeah, I'm very strong in the middle of that. Because I think it's the leaning on God when I don't depend on myself. And when you don't depend on yourself, when you're fully collapsing in the arms of the Savior, Jesus is saying, I'm still going to save you, my child. I'm still going to help you at this very point. Hey, don't be that type of Christian that grows up and just visits God on Sunday. I got to go visit the old man. Pay him respect. Because we treat God like that. I work this thing out. And someone's watching right now, and you're not part of a church, and you're not part of fellowship, and you need to return back to the house of God. Amen. Because you haven't figured it out. God, we treat him like he's this older parent now that we got it together. And we come, I'll come to his house once, I'll pay him that visit once. God needs to be part of our lives because we're never strong. Amen. We're always leaning on God. Because when we're weak, that's when we're strong. It's total kingdom upside down for the Lord. Right, everybody? And so I'm very codependent on my Savior. How about you? Right, everybody? I need him in my life today. And I'm never going to get too big for my britches for Jesus. Right, everybody? Let's visit God daily, momently, every moment that we have, just because God loves us and he cares for us. And he's our Father in heaven. This is, I conclude, at the very end of the video of Saving Private Ryan, Miller is saying, earn this. His last dying breaths aren't, tell my wife, earn this, earn this. His breath is, earn this. And the man remembered that his whole life, even as an older man. The good news of Jesus, you don't have to earn this. Somebody paid the price. On the cross, Jesus paid that price. You would be foolish to try to earn it by good works, by being in church. It's good to be in church. I got to read the word. Yeah, it's good to read the word. But if you're doing it on performance and works base, then you're doing nothing but religion. And we need to do the things of devotion because we love our Savior. We love our God. That's why we come to the house of God. I can't stay away from the house of God. I can't stay away from the word. And it's nothing about earning because God's grace is sufficient. It's not by works, unless you're not saved. Amen. You're saved by the grace of God today. Amen. Thank God I didn't have to earn it. It would have been a big price, right? Amen. Jesus paid the price today. Amen. Lean on the Savior today. Let God deal with the offense. You walk away from it. Leave it in God's hands today. I pray that that would be you today. Would you bow and pray with me? Would you whisper this right now? Whisper it now. God knows my pain. Yeah. Everyone in this room, Lord, I pray that they would stay ahead of the moment today. I pray that they would let a Savior that died on the cross deal with that unforgiveness, that they wouldn't take it upon themselves, Lord. It's too big a price to pay. Let God deal with that individual. Let God deal with that hurt, that pain right now. That you're feeling, that person. Trust God. Trust Him. Yeah. Speak to people in this moment, Lord. If you're in this house today and you've tried to earn it and you've thought, well, I'm not as bad as that person. Hitler was real bad. but if I compare myself with him, I'm doing okay. I don't bother anybody. If you compare yourself not to Hitler, because he'll answer to Jesus, he'll answer in judgment day, so will you, so will I, so will your family. If you compare yourself to Hitler, you're doing okay, but if you compare yourself with Jesus, we're all sinners in this room, and we need to be saved by grace. You're far away from God today. You've never said yes to Christ that he would save you. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, that's me, I need a Savior. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll note your hand right now, and I'll pray a prayer right where I'm at. You'll pray it where you're at. God bless you, sir. Someone else, just making sure. I want to make sure. We'll pray a prayer. We'll lead you in that prayer. You'll say it where you're at. Make sure you've said yes to Christ. You have an opportunity right now. We pray this prayer together. All the brothers, all the sisters, all the ones that are saved by grace. My brother prays it out loud, loud enough that you can hear it. Let's pray it together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take my sins and wash them away. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you, God. I'm a new creation in Christ. My old ways have passed away. I walk towards you, Lord. I follow you. I become a disciple of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Would you bless those that lifted their hand right now towards heaven? Encourage them. Come on. Yeah. I saw your hand lifted, and I'll pray for you this week. I will remember you, and I'll ask God to bless you and help you this week, today. We're going to receive our tithe and offering today. Howard Varial is going to receive that today. Would you welcome him to the platform and ask God to bless him, amen, and help him as he leads us during this time of worship. Sonia's coming too, and we're doing Growing in Faith, which is good. We'll turn up the lights a little bit more if y'all could.
Before we do receive the tithe and offering, my wife is going to give out a certificate for one of our members of our church that went through the Growing in Faith classes this last 6 weeks. And so I'm going to turn it over to her, then I'll pray for the tithe and offering.
Well, we, like I said, we have Growing in Faith classes. It's on Sunday mornings from 9 o'clock in the morning till about maybe what 10:15-ish. So we've been doing it for many years now, and it's a blessing to see different people come together, and we, you know, open up the Word, and we just grow together, and we get to know each other better. It's a wonderful time, and people discover their gifts. Some kind of come in already knowing, and they take it again, and it just confirms things for them. And so if you haven't taken the class, we want to encourage you to take it. I know there's several people that I see right now that have already taken it. Raise your hand if you've taken the class before. Let me see. Look around. There's quite a few. Okay. So you can ask any one of these people what their experience was like, and we've had some positive things come through it. So we are going to be taking a break for the summer. Is that correct? But we are going to start up again in the fall. So we'll have a sign-up sheet out there in the foyer if you're interested, and then we'll start up like when school starts. So we'll do that. But we want to just acknowledge that we had someone from our congregation that was faithful and came through every Sunday morning and showed up, and we just had a great time getting to know Laura Collier. Did I say that correctly? Will you come on up? Just want to thank you for showing up, Laura, and being so faithful. Enjoy getting to know you. Thank you. God bless you.
Congratulations, Laura. And the great thing about that also is that Laura's, God's been speaking to her, and a lot. This class has done a lot of confirmation for what God's been speaking to her already in her life. So that if God's speaking to you, you want confirmation, you can get it. Come on and get it. Okay, so I want to take the privilege. I hear an echo. I want to take the privilege of being faithful and listening to God while he asks me to, what's the word I'm looking for? Worship him in giving. But I want to paint a picture here first that God spoke to me last night. 9 years ago, right around this time, during the summer of 08, there was a family here in America that was living a great life, a very wealthy family. I mean, they had it all. The father was, obviously, he was the one that was the kingpin of it all. He's the one that had all the wealth because he's the one that created it. The only problem is the way he created it. He was in Fortune 500, one of the richest men in America. And come December of that year, it all came crashing down because it was already behind the scenes starting to fall apart. And in December of 2008, it just all came to a crash. His name was Bernie Madoff. You guys have heard of the Bernie Madoff. Well, what happened with him was he was trusted by other people with their money. I mean, he was trusted by very rich people, moderate people that didn't have that much money, but they wanted to save their money. Even his own secretary trusted him with her life savings. And, of course, he would tell them things like, you know, I will help you make a lot of money with your money. But the whole time he was doing the big Ponzi scheme thing, but he was not doing what he was supposed to be doing with the money, and he basically bilked them out of all of their finances, and he destroyed a lot of families. But you see, not only did he destroy a lot of families, he destroyed his own family. I mean, his wife, she still lives, but she lives in Recluse. She's a recluse now. You don't see her very much. His sons, they were very upset, obviously, because they didn't even know when they were working with him. He hid it very well. Some of you might have even seen the miniseries about it. But even one of his own sons ended up taking his own life because he just couldn't handle it. The grandchildren, I mean, young grandchildren, they're not even old enough to, they're still in diapers. They were being sued. So he really destroyed not just himself, but his generations. And it was simply because of just one thing, and that is that he was given money to take care of and do something with it to help people. And he didn't do the proper thing with it. And I want to bring that to our life because we're given money. We're all given a paycheck. You know, some of us get a paycheck on a weekly basis, bi-weekly basis. I get mine on a monthly basis because I'm a teacher. And let me tell you, sometimes there's 4 or 5 weeks in between those paychecks. It gets kind of tough, but I got it in my mind, in my heart, years ago, that part of that money wasn't mine anyways. God gave it to me to do something with it, and that is to pay my tithes, because God wants to use it for his purposes here at the local church and, you know, out in the community. And I got it in my mind years ago that, yeah, that I cannot sway from that. Now, I'll tell you right now, guys, this month, my mind sways all the time, but I can't in my heart. Because, you know, I mean, just last week all the way up to the next 2 or 3 weeks, I even wrote it down. We've been invited to 5 graduations, family and my own son. 4 concerts and school activities that we had to go to. 3 quinceañeras. One of them is my own daughter. 2 retirements at the school and 1 summer camp that I got to send kids to. So you think my finances are going to be ready? I mean, I want to use all that extra finance to take care of all this other stuff, you know, being able to bless people with graduation stuff. But I was like, well, maybe it's not the month to tithe. But I've never thought that. Of course, my mind thought that, but not my heart never has.
I got to set in my heart a long time ago that it's God's money. And I can't do anything with it except for what God wants to do with it. And if you can get that in your heart, that is God's money, then the rest of it will be blessed. There's a scripture that I was reading, and it's in Luke. I'm not going to ask you to look for it, but I got to get my glasses first, so hold on a second. Some of you that are laughing are wearing glasses. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 12. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in your handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? So God wants us to be trustworthy. You know, he's trusting us already with the finances. All we have to do is just trust that it's going to go to the right places and that God's going to use it, because he will. God will use those finances. He's already having allotted everywhere in the community and in the church to do the things of God. So all you have to do is just trust that God is going to use your finances that you pay him on a monthly basis or weekly basis, whenever, to do those things. So that's what I got into my heart a long time ago, and that's what I want to get in your heart. So I want to close with this, the saying that the Reverend Billy Graham said years ago: God has given us two hands, one to receive with and the other to give with. We're not cisterns for hoarding. We are channels made for sharing. So I want to be a channel. I want you to be a channel. One hand to receive, the other hand is to give, and also obviously to pay your tithes. So let's pray and let's think about those tithes and offerings that we want to give to the Lord, and decide where they're going to go. So Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that we have decided that we are going to pay our tithes, and we want to give our offerings, Father, and it's something that you've commanded us, Father, because you have great things in store for us, and you have great things in store for our community, Father. So I just pray, Father, for faithfulness, Lord. I pray that people are here to bless their families and not to curse them, Father. We hear this story of Madoff, and we're still even praying for him that he will come to repentance, Father. Just because he's in prison doesn't mean it's over for him, Father. But he can still come to repentance, Father. And I just pray, Father, Lord, for his life, Father. I pray that he comes to you, Father, and ask for forgiveness, Father. But we want to be obedient, Father. We don't want to fall into that trap, Father, because it's very easily, especially with all the things that are going on in our own lives, and where all of our money has to go, and where we think it has to go, Father. We just pray, Father. I pray that we get it in our hearts that we're tithers. I'm a tither, God. I pray for tithers in this church, Lord. And, of course, I pray for givers. I pray for those open hands, Father, from one hand to the other to receive and to give, Father, and be a channel, just like Billy Graham says. We want to be channels, Lord. So I pray, Father, I pray for a blessing over the tithe and offering of this church. And I pray for a blessing over the tithe and offering that's coming through our online giving and through even our online viewers, Father. I just thank you, Father, that they are blessed. I pray a blessing over everybody's finances in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed.
I know who stands behind the God of angels. be blessed and have a great, wonderful day.